You and I both know if a plant needs internet access and they've got somebody in IT saying, you need to fill out this 35-page document and we need to know why you get it, they're going to throw the document in the trash can. They're going to call their internet service provider and they're going to bring in a DSL line the next day and they got their own internet access. It doesn't matter.
The OEM will do it when they look at the requirements. You know, it's like, you want me to help you fix that machine in the middle of the night, I need access to it. And I'm not going to try to pop my way through some IT network that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I need some reliability on that particular space.
Hey, I'm Dino Busalaki, the Chief Technology Officer and OT guy at Velta Technology.
Hi, I'm Jim, the COO and IT guy.
And I'm Craig Duckworth, President and CEO.
You're listening to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Show.
In each episode, we bring you the inside scoop on the world of industrial cybersecurity.
We talk about everything you don't know
that you should know. So plug in and power up. The show's about to get started.
I'm Craig Duckworth, the president and CEO of Velta Technology and one of the co-founders. And today I have Dino Busalaki with me.
Hello. Again, Dino Busalaki. I'm the Chief Technology Officer and one of the co-founders of Velta Technology. And today we're going to talk about how the C-suite can get more involved and engaged in securing and protecting their manufacturing environments.
It's a great topic, Dino. I think that it's critical. It's important. And the board of directors and the executive teams, the C-suite of organizations, specifically manufacturing organizations, have a different role and they play a different, I would call
job
it a
responsibility.
Role, job and, responsibilities.
And notice we're not saying I in securing and protecting because it's bigger and broader than that.
This is from the board to the CEO to the key stakeholders in organizations. We've seen some things take place recently from the SEC. For those organizations that are now publicly traded, they're being forced by the SEC for reporting requirements, for notification requirements, for different things that affect this. So it's a mandated, being absolutely forced to do it. So we're seeing government come in as well.
Regulatory requirements, depending on your industry, you know,
yes.
Getting better. What are you doing to get better? And if your thought process is the C-suite or the board is that my IT organization is responsible for cybersecurity, you're missing the mark. Especially when it comes to systems, not by a little margin, but by a big, wide margin. We can go through all the reasons of why I fall short of being able to secure and protect that plant floor. And again, the question you have to ask yourself, are we executing the same amount of due diligence to secure and protect that industrial environment as we do the enterprise? Ask your CIO that and see what he or she says.
I think the answer is no.
It depends. You don't have any idea what that's going to cost. And then look at your organization. When you think about your plant and you map out the organization leadership from the plant floor to the plant manager, who does the plant manager report to? Who does that person report to? Who does that person report to? A lot of times you'll find that there's a different track between IT. The first time they come to the same spot with the same manager is usually at the CEO or president of the company. And is that a good thing? I don't think that's a good thing. So if you're not going to change your organization and put the responsibility where all of a sudden your CISO or your CIO becomes your new plant manager and is responsible for manufacturing, if you're going to change that dynamic, which I know most of you won't do that, then you have to get OT and the manufacturing track more engaged in how they're going to secure and protect this environment. Because it's a twofold problem. One, you got safety and security concerns, cybersecurity concerns, but you all have production and process integrity concerns, your ROI. You all know how much it costs. If you lose a plant for a day, how much does that cost you? Everybody knows their number. There's a number out there, whether it's $500,000 a day, $100,000 per line, $1 million in product sewered or scrapped. There's a number. So you measure that all the time. And the question is, can you get better at that? And here we are talking about cybersecurity, but we're also talking about that. They go hand in hand.
That's an organization's liability. So if you look at that liability, there are ways to mitigate and manage that. Well, you have insurance. That's a portion of that. It's not the whole thing. You've got cyber insurance. We've talked with, I know, 4 or 5 clients this week alone that are in a position of for various reasons that they shared with us. They can't get insurance. Their insurance just tripled and they're choosing not to procure or whatever the situation is. So how do you mitigate that risk? How do you say, okay, as an organization, the executives and the board of directors are now being held liable and responsible personally in addition to the organization, for not providing that same amount of due diligence and care. They're saying, okay, if you don't have these cyber policies in place that include manufacturing, you are being negligent. You are not being in that due diligence process. It's coming back to that. They've got to address that liability.
You can't manage what you're not measuring. So how do you do that? Organizations have all different kinds of metrics and methods and methodologies determining on how good they are at making good. So then it means you have to know your risk. And the work that we do, and we do this all day, every day, we walk into plants, we find risk all the time. Anybody who sits there and thinks, we're good, we got a pretty good handle on what goes on in here. No, you don't. You don't. Between the remote access coming in and out of the environment, external connections, IT inadvertently pushing patches, booting a switch, scanning the plant floor control systems, causing disruption and communication failures on that front. If you can't see that, if you're not managing that, how are you going to measure that? The downtime, the fact you lost an hour here, 3 hours there, 4 hours there, and over the course of a year, you've lost $5 million just on unscheduled downtimes. And somebody cares about that, right? The board cares about the C-suite about that, right? How do you get your arms around that outside of just not trying to be cyber safe, but at the same time, improving your bottom line, which is important. And
it is.
And you get that with these tool sets, right? Brand spanking new tools that provide visibility into an environment that I've heard plant managers say, yeah, it's very finicky. And we got people in here all the time, not even physically on site, monkeying and manipulating, or remotely coming in, monkeying and manipulating my environment. And I can't see anybody.
Well, it goes back to supply chain.
And IT can't discern whether that's good or bad or what the heck's going on, because operations to them is, it might as well be on another planet.
You've got so many different OEMs. You have so many different suppliers in and out of that environment. You look at an automotive industry, for example, that makes a car. You've got thousands of suppliers feeding you all this stuff that comes now just in time, which is maybe a couple hours before you need it or a day before you need it. And if something happens to them, to you, anywhere in the process, it breaks.
Yeah. And we saw that, right? We saw that during COVID.
Yeah, for sure we did.
Everybody got a really good taste of what happens when your supply chain gets disrupted.
Yes.
There's been client Clorox this summer. Look what happened to them. We could go down the list of clients,
hundreds
of manufacturers that have been impacted due to cyber attacks, cost them tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars.
True.
Do you think this is a one and done? This is a rarity thing. It doesn't happen to me. It happens every single day. And I know the board sees that and the C-suite sees that because they read the papers, they see the news, they're on the internet, they're paying attention.
But the one thing that really, even today, it surprises me. When I look back, one of the clients we worked with that had a big four accounting firm come in, do an assessment. They're sitting at the board level. They're talking to the board. They're talking to the C-suite. They went in, they did an OT assessment. Didn't find of the things that we did when we went in and completed that same assessment after them. And you can talk about that, but it still happens today. They trust them from an advisor, from a consultative standpoint, and they are, I wouldn't call it misleading the client. What they're doing, they're not practitioners. They don't have the same skill sets, the same talent that we do, and it's not getting the message across.
Yeah. Groups that you mentioned, they're not going to go out there and crack open those panels to take a look at that ICS infrastructure. For the cellular modems or the Tashi boxes or the unintended wireless dongles hanging off of PLCs, that most of them wouldn't even know what they were looking at when you opened up that panel, right? If you don't come from this world, if you haven't done control system work, if you're not a process engineer, controls engineer, been a maintenance role or been in a plant or built infrastructure and manufacturing environment, you're not the person to go out there and do that work.
Well, they don't know the whole story. They understand part of it, serve a great role.
They're not the mechanics.
But they are serving the role of, we are helping educate and bring awareness to the problem. So I give them credit for that all day long. The more education and awareness, we all are doing better.
I think there needs to be some type of metric, though, that's when they look at the organization and say, can you get this done yourself internally? Do you even have chops to do it? Do you have the capability to do it? Even if you have the resources, let's just say you have a lot of resources, could they actually do this work? If they've never done it before, if they've never worked in this before, could they go get it done? No. The most likely not. And even if you started today, it could take you 1 to 2 years just to become proficient at it. If you've got 30, 60, 90 plants, 100 plants in your fleet, think about the number of people. It gets very expensive very quickly when you think about the resources that you need to go and do that work, the training that is required, the tools that are required, right? See it compared to a traditional IT cybersecurity assessment compared to an OT cybersecurity assessment. It's a 3x difference. It's not that the tools are more expensive. It's not that. The type of work that has to be done to go cover a million square foot facility and hit every machine center you have.
But do you think that the C-suite recognizes that? When you have a CEO that's or a CFO that's ultimately approving budget, if I'm a plant manager and I'm like, hey, I need these IDS tools for my industrial environment and I need $3 million, for example, does the CEO say, you don't need that? Or do they recognizing why? What's your thought? You think that they realize the size and scope of work that it takes on that plant floor?
They haven't done it before.
I would say you're spot on.
They haven't done it. Even those that have been doing it for a few years, my philosophy, you can do it right or you can do it again.
I love that.
And there's a lot of them doing it again.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are.
And so to your point, no, they're not. They don't recognize the scope of effort. At the same time, you got an organization out there who, quite frankly, isn't paying attention either. My choice is I'm busy. I got to make goods all day, every day. My task, that's my job. This stuff over here, I don't see the value. You can't do. He's definitely not going to demonstrate the value to them.
No, and
so
they're not.
So how do you do that? And so you have to be able to create an extension to staff who has the skills and experience and knowledge on what it is that's relevant and important to pull out of that environment. You can't measure what you're not managing, and you're not managing it today. Take asset inventory, for example. How do you do that today? Is it a manual process? Certain times of the year, you send people out with clipboards and are just out there documenting the assets that you have in the space. And are you getting the vulnerability management information? Probably not. So why wouldn't you want to do continuous monitoring? I does continuous monitoring in their environment. Well, why would you want to do the same thing on the plant floor? And you can do that in a non-disruptive way, right? Where you're not being impacted or impeding their ability. But there's commonality, right? Continuous monitoring. I'm doing it for all of their stuff. Why aren't you doing it for your plant floor control systems, your PLCs, your HMIs, your drives, your robots, your reactors, your fillers, your labelers, your depalletizers? What's equipment that you have that's connected in the plant floor? You can do the same thing to continuously monitor it for asset inventory and get vulnerability management that he's doing for all their stuff.
But I think it takes more involvement on the OT side. You can't just sit behind a desk and punch a keyboard and it just magically worked. It takes involvement. It takes time. It takes key people that are, I would call them the asset owners, the process control engineers, the teams down in the plant floor that are responsible for those assets. They have to understand that. They have to know how to interpret the data to feed that back up to that C-suite so they can make business decisions on risk.
You know how you motivate the plant floor people? Increasing their bonus. How do you increase their bonus? By doing better budgets. By making goods.
Yep.
Reduce my costs, reduce my downtime, be safe, make more goods.
But that's
your
problem,
revenue
though.
Goes up, their bonuses go up.
But and that's so part of the problem.
But if you told a plant manager, it's like, how would you like to add an extra $50,000 to your bonus this year? You think he'd be interested in that?
He absolutely.
I'm sure he would be.
But if I'm the CISO and I say, okay, to do that, I need to take your plant down for a week because I need to do all these updates on those Windows 7 machines and those Windows 10 machines and all that stuff that's vulnerable. And I'm going to replace all those PLCs 10 years old or 15 years old because they have a vulnerability in them. And I'm going to need you to be closed for a month.
Never going
to
happen.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
You're not going to replace the Windows 10 machine that's end of life or Windows X7. You're not going to do that either. That's why IT walks away. Once you know that, then that's when they fall back and say, I can't influence that. I can't change that. So why do I want to be responsible for that? That's true. Their position. And even worse, when you have an OEM who's dictating for everybody on what you can do to that machine center, now it's just a black box sitting on your plant floor that does all this magical stuff and nobody knows what's going on inside of it. So that's a whole different discussion. So how do you get through all of that stuff? And it's by starting a process of beginning to do continuous monitoring to set a baseline on your vulnerabilities that you have. If you've got PLCs that haven't been patched in 5 years, I know you're not going to go out there and immediately start patching them, but there might be some patches, some firmware updates that you can push to them to start minimizing. Instead of having 300 vulnerabilities, maybe you can get down to 100. Turn some things off that shouldn't be out there, like PLCs that are acting as web servers or soft PLCs out there that you have no idea what's on those, right? And we find soft PLCs out there in the environment. That's a full-blown Linux computer. Could have Windows running on it as far as completely out of IT's purview, and he's not going to dictate, do squat anything to that soft PLC that's running those laser cutters. Mm-hmm. C-suite needs to understand that. There is clear lines of delineation that your IT group is never going to penetrate, nor do they want to. So then you have to get your OT people start stepping up, take the reins of this and say, okay, you are going to have to participate and I'm going to help you. They have to start developing their own budgets, their own funding, building their own relationships with the vendors who specialize in this space. place. You just can't go to an IT partner who sells Fortinet hardware, for example, and expect that IT VAR to come down there and start working on your plant floor and know exactly how I'm going to secure and protect this environment without even understanding anything about the relationships between those machine centers. And how do you get that? How do you know which PLCs are talking to which PLCs, which HMIs, which engineering workstations? How do you know what's in control, what that process is supposed to work? And it can change, right? It could be a seasonal, a product change, and all of a sudden relationships within those machine centers can change month to month, week to week, quarter to quarter. You never know. How do you get your arms around that, right? And there's tools and technology we have today that will do that, but you have to have some knowledge of the process and operations of that plant. And if you're not willing to learn that, you can't secure that.
There are options for organizations. There are things they can do, whether that's choose a tool, begin, start working with your local vendors. If they're halfway through the journey, maybe they're just trying to get more of that east-west traffic, not just the north-south traffic. One choice, which is, in my opinion, a very poor choice, and hopefully no organization makes this, you can choose to do nothing. You can choose to ignore it, keep your head buried in the sand, and just let it go status quo and hope you're not the next victim of a situation. But that is a choice that they are entitled to. But if they're looking at truly trying to mitigate risk for the organization, they have to go back to that same amount of due diligence and care on the manufacturing environment, those industrial control systems, as they do the IT, and they're just not doing it.
You got to think of it like safety. You can't do nothing when it comes to safety, right? That's an option.
Some people do, and the OSHA doesn't like it, but some people do.
Yeah, they do until then they get fined when somebody gets hurt or killed. Yeah. Then they deal with that, and you get the bad rap, and then your safety numbers that you had with nobody got hurt for 780 days goes back to zero, and the bonuses reset, and all other kind of metrics reset when that happens. And again, you can be that way. You could act like a third world country operating your plant, run stuff till it breaks, don't care if people get hurt. And who wants to do business with that?
Nobody does.
You don't want to go work in that plant if it's not safe. I don't want to go to that plant.
No.
So that's not an option. It's started. Where do we go? And I'm just saying you can't fall to IT to get all the way through. IT is a good place to begin it, to try to get all the right people together, governance, policy, technology per se. They just can't be the ones that take the spinning tire that's up here in the air and get it on the road, move it down the road. And you got to think globally, but you got to act locally because the plants have their own, they're their own fiefdom. They have their own P&L. They pick their partners. They pick their machine centers. Not very many follow some corporate standard per se. And if there is a corporate standard, it's usually IT's corporate standard. It comes from the networking perspective, maybe some of the computing platforms that are under control all the way down through into the network, into the data center at the plant, the core network, and maybe at the IDF or access layer. But once you start drifting down into that control system environment, all bets are off at that stage.
All the time in every manufacturing plant we go into, any standard, whether it's internet access only for certain things, you and I both know if a plant needs internet access and they've got somebody in IT saying, you need to fill out this 35-page document and we need to know why you get it. They're going to throw the document in the trash can. They're going to call their internet service provider. And they're going to bring in a DSL line the next day and they got their own internet access. It doesn't matter.
The OEM will do it when they look at the requirements. You know, it's like, you want me to help you fix that machine in the middle of the night? I need access to it. And I'm not going to try to pop my way through some IT network that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I need some reliability on a particular space. So it's time has come and we see it, right? It's this momentum has been growing over the last several years. And now the word OT actually means something. You say that to some people and they actually know what it is. A few years ago, a lot of people don't even know what OT meant. And there's a lot of technologies out there. The question is, which is the best one? You got to do your homework. You should be doing your studying. You should be doing your analysis. You should be POCing. You should be demoing. How do you make yourself smarter about it? Or that's one methodology. The other methodology is go to the players that are already in the space and see what the heck they're doing. People have been doing it for some number of years. I used to work for Rockwell Automation. I remember going into a plant that this customer spent $10 million a year buying technology and services from Rockwell. Went in there with the account quite a bit. And we were going to go meet with the CIO. And this was right after WannaCry and NotPetya came out and was causing all this havoc. I remember asking the CIO, this is the first time we've actually sat down and met with this person. It's never before met with their automation technology vendor. You as a CIO, if you're spending millions of dollars with Siemens or Rockwell or Schneider or Honeywell and some of these OEMs and SIs, you need to sit down and have conversations with them just like you do with your networking people and your Windows partner or your SAP partner or your web developing group or your applications development group. These relationships that you have with those vendors and suppliers to the IT side. If you really want to get into this game on the OT side, you need to start building a relationship with these OT suppliers who are supplying technology in your environment. And if you're not doing that, then why the heck would you think you would be able to manage and support OT cybersecurity if you don't have a relationship with somebody you're spending $10 million with every year buying their technology and PLCs and SCADA software and switches and drives and motors and MCCs, all of these different things? Where you at? Where you at, Mr. and Mrs. CIO? Because if you're not there, then how would OT give you the time of day?
It's true. We see it day in and day out.
Well, we see it at the shows that we go to. You go to these OT-specific shows, where are the CIOs at? Where's the director of networking at? But an S4 conference or Rockwell Automation. You don't see them there.
No, we don't. There needs to be, if we go back and we look at the C-suite and the board, are there certain things that we would recommend that they start to do to try and take those steps? Do they need to ask themselves? Is it back to the fundamentals? Who ultimately owns that responsibility? That's a key thing. Someone has to own it. CEO, they can't own it. Ultimately, they're responsible. They've got people underneath them that should own that. But the responsibility, if they don't, is going to fall to that C-suite and that board of directors ultimately. And they've got to take steps to begin figuring this out. They have to. They can no longer do status quo. They can't.
Sometimes it takes an event to get them off a dead center to start moving forward. My take on it from a C-suite perspective is on the OT side of the house. That's where I think you should start as far as having this conversation about how do we get better? How can we improve not only our cyber hygiene or cyber posture, but how do we start working with our supply chain and our OEMs, our system integrators that we rely on to put stuff for our plants to make the goods we make? And if you're some manufacturers, they actually are OEMs themselves and they're selling control systems on the product they're shipping out the door. What are you doing to make that stuff better for the clients that are buying that stuff? Because I will tell you that if you're selling to the government, if you're selling to an Amazon or a Microsoft or a Google, they're starting to expect that you're doing that due diligence on OT cybersecurity on your side for the machines you're giving me.
Seeing supply chain clients that are managing to a contract that they have with a vendor that uniquely specifies they have certain manufacturing cyber hygiene in place, or that vendor is going to cancel that contract.
The business.
Totally agree. Yeah.
You can't demonstrate a plan of action that you have in place to do this stuff. You're not getting the business. It's here now. It's happening and it's going to continue to foster and grow. That if you want to sell your product to company X and they come back and say, well, what's your cyber hygiene practices on your plant floor? And you sit there and got a big goose egg for a number.
Yeah.
That's a deal you're not going to get.
We even provide a tabletop exercise with key executives, key stakeholders within that organization just for alignment. It's a starting point. It's not the end, but it's a beginning. It's, hey, how would we do that? Because in a crisis, you don't want to build your plan. You don't want to try and do this in the middle of an event. You need to have this well-rehearsed, understand who owns it, who the stakeholders are, who's responsible, so that when, not if, but when something does happen, the organization's prepared. And that falls to the executives to ensure that's being done.
I've seen the executives, some of them, they feel like they're handcuffed. They don't know how to knife fight this even with their own organization.
Yeah.
It's between IT and OT, for example. Because if OT's not willing to step up and start asking these questions and actually try to be engaged and involved, then CEO is going to have a hard time convincing them to do that, I believe. Because fallback, they've got the ball. He's got it. When we know that they don't. But OT has to see the value. And the only way OT is ever going to see the value is when it starts coming at them through their supply chain and their trusted advisors and partners that they work with every day. When you're hearing this from Rockwell, you're hearing this from Siemens, you're hearing this from your OEM, you're hearing this from your SIs, you're hearing it from your partners that you're buying stuff from, that's when they're going to start paying attention on the OT side. That's when the epiphany hits them. It's, well, what do you mean I need to have a sensor in that panel that collects all this metadata and sends it to this platform? Why would I do that? And it's like having OnStar in your vehicle. You buy a vehicle, it's got OnStar on it. For the first 60 or 90 days, you get a free subscription. And so you can see what it is, and you know what it is, and you can either decide you want to keep it or you don't. You can quit paying for the subscription, it shuts down, but it's still there. The next person that buys that vehicle, they can decide to turn OnStar back on. Or maybe after the first time you have a wreck out in the middle of the country, there's no SOS button to work for you. You can't make the call. Maybe you decide, maybe I should turn that stuff back on.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot to think about. And organizations, especially leadership of these organizations, they have to begin taking steps, taking action to improve their cyber hygiene in their manufacturing. It's a topic that's not going to go away. It's becoming more and more prevalent every single day.
Talk to your peers and your colleagues out there. What are they doing? If you're in the food industry, go find out what other, find a non-competitive and go talk to them and ask them what they're doing. Ask them how they're dealing with it.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Great conversations, great topic to be talking about. I'm glad we got a chance to discuss it today, but organizations, they've got to do something. They just can no longer ignore it.
No, they demonstrate that you're getting better. How are your duty of care? What is your duty of care responsibility to get better? And can you demonstrate that? Again, you can't manage what you're not measuring.
Perfect. Great conversation today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Podcast. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to click the follow or subscribe button now. And if you found this podcast helpful or have a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a review or let us know. If you're interested in learning more about Velta technology and how you can get safer sooner, visit veltatech.com. That's VeltaTech.com. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.